Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to talk about a word in the Bible called dissimulation. You'll also see it like dissemble or dissembleth, dissimulation. Now it's not a word that we use much, but I'll tell you what, it is a word that we often do, dissemble. Dissimulation is hypocrisy. It comes from the word simulation. For instance, when you are in a flight simulator, it looks and feels like you're in a real jet, but you aren't. It's fake. Likewise, when you live your life in dissimulation, you're pretending to be something that you aren't. So today we're going to look in the Bible at several occasions of dissimulation, and I believe the Bible will teach us both to beware of dissimulation when we see it in others and to beware of dissimulation when we see it in ourselves. Turn first of all to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. In Joshua chapter 7, what's happened is that Achan has stolen some of the spoil from Jericho. And when he did it, he was in direct violation of the command from God not to take anything when they destroyed the city. In Joshua chapter 7, in verse 10, the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up, wherefore liest thou thus upon thy face?" See, Joshua started praying because the men of Israel lost a battle against Ai. 36 men died, and Joshua was like, "Man, we should have stayed in the wilderness." And he's praying to God, and the Lord tells him, "Get up." And here's the problem. Joshua chapter 7, verse 11. "Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, and also stolen and dissembled also, and they have put it even among their own stuff." Now notice, they've dissembled also. You see, when Achan stole some of that spoil, he took it into his tent and he covered it up. He hid it and pretended that it wasn't there. And so God here told Joshua, "Hey, someone has taken some of the spoil." But as soon as Joshua finds out that somebody's taken some of the spoil, listen, he doesn't know what they've taken, and he doesn't know who took it. Neither of those things was discovered until God narrowed it down to the tribe, and then to the family, and then to the household, and then to the man who took it. You see, God told Joshua, "You guys can't stand before your enemies until you take that cursed thing away from among you." So Joshua, in chapter 7, verse 14, says, "In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes, and it shall be that the tribe which the Lord shall taketh shall come according to their families, and the family which the Lord shall take shall come by households, and the household which the Lord shall take shall come man by man." So evidently they're doing something like a lot. And the Lord is just narrowing it down and narrowing it down, narrowing it down. You know, honestly, the Lord could just say Achan's the one that did it. But no, he narrowed it down. Now, Joshua said there's going to be a problem, because the person that hath taken the cursed thing shall be burnt with fire. So they start the process. In the morning, verse 16, Judah was taken. Verse 17, the family of the Zarahites was taken, and then they were brought in family by family, and the man and man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah, was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, My son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord, against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now, you know what happened? Achan dissembled until the bitter end. He could have come at any point and said, Guys, you're wasting your time. I'm the one that did it. And he could see the way things were narrowing down. Judah, ooh, you're getting warm. Zarhites, ooh, you're getting warmer. Zabdi, ooh, this is getting bad. Man by man, Achan, I'm had. But Achan dissembled until the bitter end. He never did confess it. He never did admit that he was the one that had taken that stuff. Now let me tell you something. This shows you something that's very important that you need to know, either about yourself or about other people. Men will hide their transgressions and pretend they have not sinned to the very end. They will profess their innocence until their guilt is undeniable. But you know what Moses said? Moses said in Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, Be sure your sin will find you out. You know, if you're guilty of a transgression, you can't hide it forever. And the longer you wait to clear it with God, the more likely you'll get justice rather than mercy. I can think of several famous incidences in the last couple of decades of people who denied and denied and denied and denied that they were lying. I'm not lying. Not lying. No. I didn't use performance-enhancing drugs. No. Not lying about that at all. And go on like that for years. And then one day, there they are, totally embarrassed before all society, all teammates, all friends. They've been nabbed. They've been had. No more way to hide it. No. I didn't commit adultery with that woman. No. I'm not lying about it either. No. On and on and on until the testimony is so overwhelming and the facts are so irrefutable. Now, you got to say, well, yeah, I did. You see how crazy that is? By the time people find out and you've held out that long, they despise you for it. They despise you for it. That's the dissimulation of a transgressor, I'm telling you. If you're guilty of a transgression, you cannot hide it forever. It's coming out. It's coming out. And the longer you hide it from God, and the more you pretend that you haven't done it, the more you're going to get justice and the less you're going to get mercy. That's right. But let's move on to another one. That's the dissimulation of a transgressor. We also have the dissimulation of the wicked. Psalm chapter 26. Let's read the first five verses. Psalm 26. Let's read the first five verses. You'll see the word pop up in, I think, verse 4. Yes. Verse 4. Okay, watch. Verse 1, Psalm 26. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. So in this passage, we're going to see the dissimulation of the wicked. You see, many wicked men pretend to be good men. But the truth is, in reality, they are evildoers. They're wicked. Now, the Pharisees in the New Testament were the best examples of the congregation of evildoers that David mentions in verse 5. I have hated the congregation of evildoers. Man, they were the congregation of evildoers. Whenever they got ready to try to kill Jesus Christ, they always had a council. They got together. That's the congregation of evildoers. Now, they were beautiful on the outside. In Matthew chapter 23, according to Jesus Christ, he said they're like the whited sepulchers. And you've been to some of the beautiful memorial cemeteries in our country that are veteran cemeteries, like Arlington. They're beautiful. And the Lord said, you know what? You guys are beautiful on the outside. And outwardly, they appeared righteous. They really did. But inwardly, they were full of hypocrisy and iniquity, full of dead men's bones. They were liars. They were hypocrites, vipers and serpents, the Lord called them. You know, David was not like one of these at all. He was not like a Pharisee at all. He told the Lord, in this passage we're reading here in Psalm 26, he told the Lord, examine me. He said to the Lord, prove me. Try my reins and my heart. Now listen, you're not going to stand before God and tell him, examine me, prove me, and try me unless two things are true. One, you expect that he's not going to find much. Like he said, I've trusted in the Lord. He said, thy loving kindness is before mine eyes. I have walked in thy truth. He's not expecting the Lord to find much, but I'll tell you something else. He knows that if the Lord does find something, he wants to know it because he doesn't want to live the life of hypocrisy. He doesn't want to dissemble before the Lord. He wants to know where he's out of line with God. He wants the Lord to show him so he can fix it up. See? David was on the outside what he was on the inside. You say, well, I know he did some bad things. Of course, but I'm going to tell you something. He never tried to hide that thing from God. That's why the Lord said he's a man after my own heart. He was on the outside what he was on the inside. Now listen, if you think that you are successfully hiding your wickedness from the Lord because you have successfully hidden your wickedness from men, you're a fool. If you have men fooled into believing that you're some really goody-goody two-shoes, but on the inside you know your own heart is a heart of wickedness, you fooled yourself. The Lord knows your heart. He knows your thoughts. He knows your spirit. He knows your intentions. He knows your motives. He knows everything about you. He knows what you do in the dark. He knows what you think about. He knows why you do what you do. He knows you better than you know yourself. And I'm going to tell you something. With the Lord, you're getting away with nothing. You say, well, I got everybody else fooled. That's short-lived. You might fool them all the way to the judgment seat of Christ. When you come up busted or you get up there and find out that you're not even saved at all and they see you heading toward the lake of fire, what was it worth? Worth nothing. Absolutely nothing. It's a vain pursuit. Listen, if you are wicked, then you need to get yourself in a right relationship with the Lord. You need to line your thoughts up with his thoughts and your spirit up with his spirit and your intentions with his intentions and your motives with his motives and your heart with his heart. And the only way you're going to do that is through Jesus Christ and get his righteousness in you and face up to the fact that you are not as good as you are pretending to be. That's the dissimulation of the wicked. But there's more. Look with me in Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 24, but we'll go ahead and read to the end of the chapter. We'll read all the way to verse 28 because it helps us to understand the full text, the full context of the text. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 24, he that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. This is the dissimulation of a hater. Watch it. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. You see, a person who hates you, and that's what this is about. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips. A person that hates you, they're not going to tell you to your face that they hate you. A person who hates you will rarely tell you that he hates you. He pretends to love you, or at least to like you. I mean, if there's some association with you, he tolerates you or puts up with you in that relationship because there's some advantage to him or her in it. But they don't like you, even though they pretend to. I mean, remember something. Listen, Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus Christ with a kiss. Okay? I mean, you're kidding yourself if you think everybody that is closely associated with you speaks kindly of you when you aren't in the room. Let me say it again. You're kidding yourself if you think everybody that is closely associated with you speaks kindly of you when you aren't in the room. Jesus Christ said, "Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you." You ought to be thrilled that there are some people who talk bad about you, because it probably means you're standing for something. Listen, when they speak fair or when they flatter you, don't believe that stuff. I mean, if a person really loves you, you're going to know it. They won't have to tell you. And when they do speak, they won't have to measure their words to make them fair, and they won't have to flatter you. I mean, when men have to flatter you in your presence, when men have to couch their words in just a way so that they can speak fair words, there's no real good relationship there. Because they have to be careful how they say what they say and measure every word. Listen, a person who really loves you, they don't have to measure their words. They don't have to make them fair. They just talk straight. Now, if you hate someone, quit pretending that you love him. Or quit pretending that you love her. If you hate him, you hate him. You say, "Well, I know, but I don't want him to know that." Well, quit going around talking about how much you love them. Quit fooling them and flattering them and speaking fair. That's such a hypocrisy. They spoke that way about Jesus Christ. When they got together privately, yeah, he's got a devil. See, they didn't like him. But they didn't want the other people to know that. "Oh, you're a good teacher, master. We know you're a good teacher. Nobody teaches like you." You hear that flattery? They were setting him up. They wanted him to say something they could use against him at a trial so they could kill him. Don't be that kind of person. Don't be that kind of dissembler. And beware of those who call you friend that have to flatter you. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. They might be lying. "When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart." Not trying to break up a good friendship. Not trying to break up a good friendship at all. But just beware not to believe everything you hear that sounds good about yourself. You might be fooled later. Let's keep going. Jeremiah chapter 42. Jeremiah chapter 42. Here is the case of Johanan, the captains of the forces, and all the people coming to Jeremiah. The king of Babylon has already come in and destroyed Jerusalem. These guys are scared to death. And they've been told by Jeremiah, they've been told by Gedaliah and others, "Hey, just get along with the king of Babylon now. God's fierce wrath against this city is done. You just serve him, everything's going to be fine." And they were scared to death to do it. They were determined they were going to Egypt. And they came to Jeremiah and they said, "You know what, Jeremiah, we want you to pray to the Lord for us and find out which way we should go." And so Jeremiah goes and he prays to the Lord. He comes back and says, "Here's what you need to do. You just need to serve the king of Babylon. And I'll tell you," he says, "you don't need to go to Egypt. Don't even think about going to Egypt." And watch Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 19. "The Lord hath said concerning you, O you remnant of Judah, go ye not into Egypt. Know certainly that I have admonished you this day." Verse 20. "For you dissembled in your hearts when you sent me unto the Lord your God, saying, Pray for us to the Lord our God. And according to all that the Lord our God shall say, so declare unto us, and we will do it." He said, "You were lying. You dissembled in your hearts when you told me that." Verse 21, "And now I have this day declared it to you, but you have not obeyed the voice of the Lord your God, nor anything for the which he has sent me unto you. Now therefore, know certainly, that you shall die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence in the place whither you desire to go and to sojourn." This is the dissimulation of the self-willed. This is the dissimulation of the self-willed. You see, Johanan, the captains of the forces and the people, asked Jeremiah to pray that the Lord would show them the way they were to walk. And they promised that they would obey the Lord. But the truth is, they had no intention of following the Lord if he told them to do anything other than what they were already planning to do. They were planning to go to Egypt. And they did go to Egypt against the counsel of the Lord. Now, you know what? It is common for people to seek counsel from a pastor or from a deacon or from, you know, somebody they consider to be spiritual. It's common for people to seek counsel and to ask for prayer when they have no intention of following the counsel or following God. I think the reasons they seek counsel and the reasons they ask for prayer are twofold. Confirmation and appearance. That's what I think. They're doing it for confirmation. In other words, they're hoping that God's lined up with their thinking. And they want it to look good. They want it to look spiritual. They want others to think that they are spiritual because they've sought counsel and they've asked for prayer. But the truth is, they want the Lord to bless the decision they've already made. Listen, if you have already made up your mind about something that you're fixing to do, don't pretend that you need prayer or counsel. Why? Because you're just going to go do what you've already decided to do. You're wasting other people's time. You're just putting on a show. Listen, if you've already made up your mind and you're going to do it, just go do it. You say, well, it may be a stupid thing. Then don't go looking for counsel with a heart of self-will. If you're going to go get some counsel, you better be ready to do what God shows you to do. And if you're not going to, you are wasting his time. And you're wasting yours. You might as well get on with your stupid plan. Dissimulation of the self-willed. Listen, there are a lot of people who have already made up their minds about things that they're going to do. That's right. Most people have. And this idea of asking for prayer, you're not going to get anything from God. Or this thing about asking for counsel, you're not going to hear what you want to hear. So why bother? Well, I want to appear to be spiritual. I want everybody to believe this is something that God wants me to do. They're going to know God didn't want you to do it when it blows up in your face. Just like these guys that went down to Egypt. He says, you're going to die by the sword, by the famine, and by the pestilence. They went anyway. Let me show you one more. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. This is a pretty sober message, wouldn't you say? But I tell you what, it hits right to the heart of things, doesn't it? If it doesn't fit you perfectly, it fits somebody that you know. It's just shocking how real truth is and how it cuts to the quick. Listen, there's no intention on our part of hurting anybody by the things that we say. But listen, if you're going to get better and you're going to straighten out your life with the Lord and quit being a pretender, a dissimulator, then you got to hear these things. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 to 14. Look at old Paul here. When Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, did you see what happened in verse 11? He said, I withstood him to the face. And he says to Peter in verse 14, before them all. It was a public face-to-face confrontation. Now, what was going on is this. Peter and the other Jewish disciples who were with him in Antioch were eating with the Gentiles until the Jews from Jerusalem showed up. Then they separated themselves, pretending that they were keeping the law and not defiling themselves with the Gentiles. And when Paul saw what they were doing, he stood up to them and called them a bunch of two-faced hypocrites. By the way, Romans 12:9 says, let your love be without dissimulation. Well, there's a good example of it right there. This is love without dissimulation right there. He loved these apostles, and he didn't want them messing up like that anymore. He loved those people there that were in Antioch, and he didn't want those Gentiles to be harmed by this. So he just put his face right in the middle of that thing and said, boys, you got to straighten up. But I'm going to tell you something. It is so common for Christians to wear two faces. This is the dissimulation of the two-faced. You say, what is that? You have one face that you put on for church, and then you have another face that you wear when you aren't around your Christian friends. You know why your spiritual growth is stunted like a scrub oak? It's because of your dissimulation. You aren't real when you're at church because you want people to believe you're a better Christian than you are, and you really aren't real with the friends you hang around with when you put on that other face because you're really not the kind of person that they are. You are a child of God, but you don't want them to know that so you can drink with them and party with them and carry on with them or conduct your business the way they conduct their business, which ethically isn't the way a Christian should conduct his business. And if they knew that about you, they would question your motives. And so you don't grow. You don't enjoy your Christian life. It's a drudgery to you. And you know why? It's not real. You have two faces. The one you show everybody at church and that other one that you have behind the scenes. Now let me tell you something. If you are prone to use dissimulation, quit. You're just laying up deceit inside of yourself. I mean, those to whom you're lying, they're going to discover your lie in time. The sooner you become on the outside what you truly are on the inside, the sooner the Lord can start helping you to become what you want others to believe that you really are. Let me say it one more time. The sooner you become on the outside what you truly are on the inside, the sooner the Lord can start helping you to become what you want others to believe that you really are. But you're going to have to be honest with God, and you're going to have to be honest with other people. And you can't do that by lying and being wicked, being a hater, and being self-willed, and being two-faced. You're going to have to come clean and quit this dissimulation. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.